Take your Bibles. Okay, Gary, I'm ready. I'm sorry. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I would like to read the first three verses. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this evening for allowing us the privilege to assemble ourselves together as brethren in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for raising up this place, Lord, and keeping it here all these years. For blessing, Lord, the word and calling out your sheep, I pray this evening, Lord, bless this word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. The scripture that we deal with tonight is one that gives instruction as to the events which took place when the Lord called Abraham. Called Abram, when he called Abram out of the darkness of sin and unbelief. But these three verses set forth beautifully how God saves sinners. Now last week we ended up in the 11th chapter and looking at the latter verses, last two verses actually, of chapter 11, we saw what happened during the last 5 years of Abram's dad. His name was Terah. What actually happened to this family? The scripture says in Genesis 11:31, and Terah, or Terah, took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, the significance of that, those two verses right there, that event, is the fact that God had already spoken to Abram when he was still living in Ur, the city of Chaldea, or in Ur of the Chaldees. That was Abram's hometown. Now what we just read in 31 and 32, all right, that is, I know it's written before we get into chapter 12, but I want to show you the sequence of what happened. The scripture says in chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord, now Jehovah, had said unto Abram. Now The Lord spoke to Abram 5 years before what we just read in chapter 11, verse 31, 32. 5 years now before that event. It's written in chapter 11. But it's like we just kind of, the Spirit of God kind of comes back and brings us up to date what happened before that 5 years while they were in Haran. Turn with me again to Acts 7. I want you to look at this again. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 to 4. Now here, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the Scripture says, and this is Stephen, this is the message that he preached that they killed him over. This is the beginning of it. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" Acts 7. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan," which is Haran. That's that city that Terah died in. That's where he said, "Men and brethren, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell." Now, here's what happened. Stephen, moved by the Spirit of God, says that the God of glory, Lord Jesus Christ, he's only referred that way two times, once here and once in the book of Psalms. But the Lord of the God of glory, that is the Godhead or the Trinity in the person of the Lord Jesus. Here's what he's saying. Jehovah, God Almighty, the triunity of God Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, in whom the Lord Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Him. He said, the Lord, God of glory, appeared, that is, visibly, unto our father Abraham. There was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ unto an object of God's mercy. Abraham was allowed to actually see the Lord. He saw Him, and the Lord gave him specific instruction. He saw Him in a body. He saw Him that way. God of glory appeared to him. And this is what is said now back in our 12th chapter of Genesis. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, and He told him, He said, "Get out of thy country. I want you to get out of your native land. And from thy kindred, I want you to leave your relatives. And from thy father's house, your personal home, unto a land that I will show thee." And the instruction of the Lord to Abram concerning Abram's leaving Ur of the Chaldees was given with a covenant promise. A promise of blessing, a covenant, a contract. He said in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, "And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will bless I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now that was a promise. God said, "This is what I'm going to do. I want you to leave." Now he's still in his hometown. Now he's still in Ur. Now. They hadn't left. His daddy hadn't left with him and gone to Haran yet. He said, "I want you to leave. I want you to leave. Leave everything. Leave your daddy, leave your family, leave your country. And I'm gonna make you great. You're gonna be a blessing." That was a promise given to God while he was still in Mesopotamia, when the Lord first called Abram to himself, called him out of idol worship. Now here's what he was doing. Hold your place and turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Here's what was happening here. Here's Abraham now. Abram. Joshua 24, verses 1 and 2. And Joshua is coming to the end of his life, but he's relating some things. Joshua 24, 1 and 2. "Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So if you want to know what Abram was doing when the Lord appeared to him, when he called him out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin and unbelief, this is what he was doing. He was worshiping idols. The Lord appeared unto him and spoke to him. He was on the other side of the flood. Now, don't let that wording confuse you, thinking that it was the flood of Noah. It means, actually, he was on the other side of the Euphrates. I'm going to just kind of give you a little visual here, right? Looking at it the way you would be seeing it, you had the Euphrates River and the Tigris River. And Ur of the Chaldees was on this side of the Euphrates, and Haran was on the other side between Euphrates and Tigris River. It was up here in the middle. So when he calls it, he was on the other side of the flood. He was talking about he was on the other side of the Euphrates River. So here's a man, Abram. He's a first-hand example of man by nature as he's born in Adam. Here's the bottom line. Men born in Adam never change. Never change. God had destroyed all the earth, saved 8 souls in that ark. 8 souls. Noah, his wife, sons, their wives. It's been just a little more than 400 years since the flood. Since God had destroyed all of the world because of man's wickedness. And now, here it is, a little over 400 years, and men are doing just exactly what they were doing before God destroyed the world. Same thing. This is what man does by nature. He sins against God. We're born in sin, conceived in sin, born in sin, come forth speaking lies. I found where Noah died less than 20 years before God called Abram. The calculations that I could find said that Abram was probably about 58 years old. Doesn't say he ever met Noah, but he was about 58 years old when Noah died. After all of this now, and here's they are. The wickedness of man is rampant in the earth. God's got a seed out of that line of Shem. And there's God's got a witness. But all of them, even, you know how we looked at it last time. All of them that was even born in the line, in the bloodline, some of them were there. Some brothers and sisters weren't. But there, God had an elect. So here was Abram, found in the dregs of idolatry, no knowledge of God, no entrance of God. And the Lord was pleased to come to this idol worshiper because it pleased God to show mercy. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So back in Genesis, now chapter 12, Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3, according to the revelation that was given by the Spirit of God through Stephen, that happened before Abram's family ever left Ur of the Chaldees. He's right there in his hometown. His daddy's an idol worshiper. His brother's an idol worshiper. Abram's an idol worshiper. And that's what they're doing. They're worshiping idols. And God comes to Abraham. God chooses Abraham. You hadn't chose me, I chose you. And he chose Abraham, and he came to Abraham. And those first three verses in chapter 12 came to him, and he appeared to him. He came to him, called him out of darkness, appeared to him, manifested himself to him, and called him and told him, this is what I want you to do. Verses 31 and 32 in chapter 11, just before that, that's what took place After God had spoken to Abraham and told him to leave, that Terah, Abram's dad, and his family takes them all. They all go up. They're going to go to Canaan. But before they get to Canaan, they stop in Haran. They stop in a city before they get to Canaan. And they stayed there 5 years, and his daddy died. And then in verses 4 and 5 that we'll look at in just a minute in chapter 12 took place after the death of Terah, because Abram, it was said, to actually depart from Haran. So you have to get the timeline of these scriptures. It wasn't like it was written in chronological order. It wasn't that. So I got to thinking about that. Here God appeared to this idol worshiper, called him out of darkness, revealed himself to him. And somebody might ask, well, why did Abram wait until after his dad died to do what the Lord had commanded him? And I thought on that question. Now, why would Abraham do that? Well, here's the answer I've come to the conclusion. Man is a sinner. Man is a rebel against God. He's prone to do that which the Spirit of God revealed through the Apostle Paul. And we're all like Abraham. We're all like Paul. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not." That means the things that I do, I don't know why I do that. "For what I would," or "what I should do," what I would, it's what I want to do. I've said before, there's not a believer in here that doesn't want to be obedient. I want to be obedient. "For that which I would, I do not. And what I hate, that I do." Romans 7:19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Isaiah 53:6, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." So here's what I know. There's no excuse for disobedience. There's no excuse. We don't condone it. Truly, we condemn it in ourselves. It's wrong, and every believer will tell you that very thing. So we don't excuse it. Somebody say, "Well, you know, I told you about my friend there in Tennessee. Well, I'm just a sinner." That's no excuse. That's no excuse. I know we do it. But we cannot use sin as a cloak for our rebellion. It's just, you know, Abram was told of God to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and God would bless him. And which brings me to my second question. Why didn't the Lord condemn Abram for his disobedience? Now, I'm asking these for our instruction. Why doesn't the Lord condemn us immediately? Why does he do what he does? Well, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Here's what I know. What Abraham did in not leaving was disobedience. God Almighty was pleased to show mercy and compassion to Abram. And I am so thankful for this. I'm so thankful to read what I'm reading right here, because it gives me some hope that God will have mercy on me. Is what I do in rebellion, is it right? No, it is not right. I'm so thankful that God hadn't put me in hell for my rebellion. I'm so thankful that he has mercy on me in Christ. And the Lord has revealed his compassion to the objects of his mercy. So we can all ask, why has he not blotted all of us out for disobedience? It's because God has dealt with his people not according to the perfection of their obedience. And I am so thankful for that. He'll chasten us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And you disobey, he will chasten. He will chasten. But he won't condemn us. God dealt with Abram in covenant mercy without any injustice to his justice. He dealt with Abram and his beloved son as he does with all of his sheep. Now here's the amazing thing. Hold your place right there and let me show you. Now I just read to you that Abraham disobeyed God. There's no question about it. Abram disobeyed God. He eventually went. He did. But he didn't go immediately. Like Jonah. Like Marvin. But let me show you what God said about him. Hold your place and turn to Hebrews 11. Here's what the Spirit of God wrote concerning Abraham's commission from the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. No mention of his lingering. God didn't even bring it up. He didn't bring it up. You talk about mercy. You talk about mercy and compassion. He dealt with him in Christ. The Lord commanded Abram, you get out of your country. But for leaving that country, the Lord promised him, I will make of thee a great nation. I'm telling you to get out of your country. You leave everything associated with the flesh. You leave the flesh. You don't pamper it. Don't stay. You leave. I'll make you a great nation. And for sure, Abraham did experience the blessing of God for the sacrifices that he was commanded to make. You leave this country. And I'll make you. At that time, Abram had no children. His wife, Sarai, was barren. But he had God's word, God's promise that God would make of him. I will make of thee, through you, a great nation. And is the nation of God's church, God's bride, God's sheep, is that not seen today as a great nation? For this great nation is established in Christ, who is great. The Lord promised Abram. He said, I will bless thee. I will bless thee. And what blessings has been bestowed upon the children of men? Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. The scripture says, "Now, and I will bless thee. I'll bless thee." Now listen to these blessings. Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He told him, he said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And I'm going to bless you. I will bless you. The Lord promised Abram, he said, I'm going to make thy name great. For the loss of Abram's family distinction. He said, I want you to get out from your family. I want you to leave your kindred, get out of your daddy's house. I'm going to make your name great. And the Lord truly made Abram's name great. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, now listen to his name, the friend of God. That's his name. I'm gonna make of you a great name. And the Lord promised Abram, and he said, and thou shalt be a blessing. The blessing of God came through Abraham. God was pleased to use the means of this man and his bloodline. Abram was in the bloodline of Christ. He said, thou shalt be a blessing because of his posterity. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come through him, thou shalt be a blessing. Outside of the grace of God, what would Abram ever be but just another sinner on the face of this earth for a few years? But God showing mercy to him, he said, you're going to be a great blessing. We through him who came, the Lord Jesus Christ who came, and those men, prophets that prophesied, we have the scriptures. We have the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be a great blessing. The prophecy came not of old. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Through Abram, he said, you're going to be a great blessing. Here's the Savior came into the world, the gospel, and here's an amazing display of God's grace. So that passage there, he said, I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Here's the greatest ground of assurance for deliverance. God's people are vessels of God's mercy. And the way they're treated in this world, whether in kindness or hatefulness, God takes note. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You think God took note of that? The Lord identifies with his people. They are his body. He is their head, their savior, their priest, their king, their husband, their savior. The Lord said in Matthew 10:40, he that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Oh, the blessing of God through the object of his love and affection. But remembering that God was dealing with Abram in covenant mercy. When he made all these promises, over here in the first few verses of chapter 12, he was dealing with Abram in a covenant, but a covenant made with himself, with God making with himself. The one in whom we have all of our hope is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Abram is a type right here. The Lord told Abram truly, and here's what I want us to do. I want us to behold in closing the glorious truth of these things being said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God said them to Abram. There's no doubt about that. And God did bless him physically. And in this world, he did. He did. We reap great benefits through what the Lord promised to Abraham and did through the posterity of Abraham. There's no doubt about that. But I want you to listen to these things as we wrap this up. concerning the Lord speaking to his son, of whom Abram is a type. The Lord did say to Abram, remember now, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And beholding those words as being said to the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of his people, did not the Lord Jesus Christ leave his heavenly abode by taking upon himself the nature of his people? Did he not, in obedience, separate himself from the Father and come into a land of God's choosing, the world in which his sheep abide? The scripture declares in John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God told Abram, and considering God speaking to his obedient servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, get thee out of thy country. Scripture says in Philippians 2, 6 and 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And let me ask you this, in verse 2, when the Lord said, I will make of thee a great nation, has the Lord God Jehovah not made of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, a great nation? A great nation that has been redeemed and regenerated by the grace of God, who are righteous, being robed in his righteousness. A nation of saints that have been justified before God by faith. We just saw that. Look back in the latter in Hebrews 11. What did Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and he did exactly what he said. I think about that scripture when we stand before God and he separates the sheep from the goats and he says unto the sheep, well done. Well done. Only can that be said in him. Only with his righteousness imputed to us. He said, I will make thee a great nation. A great nation upon whom the blessing of God descends. A great nation in whom the blessing of God and his acceptance is found in Christ. And concerning the word of the Lord to Abram, he said, I will bless thee. Now, if we look at those words as being to the Savior, that word bless right there, an act of adoration and praise. What did the Lord say from heaven? What did the Father say from heaven? At his baptism? And on the Mount of Transfiguration, I will bless thee. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You hear him. And concerning, he told Abraham also, he said, I will make thy name great. I'll make your name great, Abram. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says in Philippians 2, 9 and 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. And as Abram was promised that he would be a blessing, is not our precious Lord the very blessing of God to us? Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, what a blessing. He told Abraham, he said, I will make thee a blessing. Oh, I'm telling you, in Christ, God has made him to be a blessing to us. And then verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, when we come to our standing before God, here's the question of all questions. What think ye of Christ? The Father says, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee. And that's the way it is. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, every man, every woman, this is the question. Who is he to you? Is he the sovereign Savior of God's people, or is he merely one trying to make salvation possible? Is he the Lord of glory, or is he just a martyr that just died as an example upon a cursed tree? A sinner's attitude toward Christ reveals God's attitude toward that sinner. God blesses those that bless him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. God blesses those that blesses him, and he curses those that curse him. And last, and I'll stop right here. And he said, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In Christ, all families of the earth, all of Jew and Gentile, blessed of God, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, people, nation, God has a sheep. Strangers and pilgrims in this world, and the Lord is surely going to call them out of darkness. So whenever the Lord God, Jehovah, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, came to Abram, came where he was, called him out of the darkness of rebellion, sin, idol. He was an idol worshiper. That's where God met him. He called him unto himself, commissioned him. Abram obviously tarried. But thanks be unto God, God didn't deal with him, and he doesn't deal with any of his people in their obedience. Because we are sinners. We strive, we desire to, but based on the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That righteousness, that obedience imputed to us. And God accepts us in the Beloved. I am so thankful for covenant mercy. Covenant mercy. I'm thankful that God does not deal with me in me. I would have no hope. I pray that God bless this to our hearts for His glory and our good. Amen. All right. 2 minutes.